Pete McMurray in for Brian Noonan in studio with us. I love this next woman. She is an attorney, and she's giving free legal advice until 9 o'clock. 312-981-7200. Attorney Karen Conti in studio. It's great to see
great
you.
Great to see you, as always. I usually see you in bright daylight.
Right. Are you on loan from the Cochran Show, or did the Cochran Show steal you from Brian Noonan?
I don't know. I don't know what happened first, the chicken or the egg, but I think I've been doing Steve Cochran shows over the years in Chicago for 25 years.
No way.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
He's been on a number of stations that we won't mention, but I have been doing his show for so long. I don't remember when it started.
Wow. Yeah. So it's every Tuesday at 6:40?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we see each other when I fill in for Steve.
That's right.
Your email is WGN@AskKarenConti.com.
That's my brand new email address. It's a little easier.
Okay.
So WGN@AskKarenConti.com.
So people can ask you anything. If you don't have the answers, you'll point them in the right direction.
Absolutely.
You always have the answers, though.
Well, I try.
Since this Harvey Weinstein thing has come out, I've wanted to talk to you about it. I'm so glad we have the chance.
Yes.
What do you think so far?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, like everybody else, are you shocked? No, we're not shocked at all. This happens all the time. And frankly, from a personal standpoint, you know, I've been a lawyer for 31 years, and I've had things happen to me my entire career. And I think only now, when I'm in my own law firm and I'm a little older and a little stronger,
right,
it doesn't happen. Okay. But in my young days, I saw it happen all the time with others, and it happened to me. And it's really unfortunate. It can cause serious problems, and it makes you want to leave the workforce, which is so unfair to these women.
Right.
And in this particular case, where you have someone who's the Hollywood make it or break it, everyone was super afraid of talking about it because he'd blackball you.
Right.
So, but again, the whole concept of it is not surprising. I think the magnitude is.
Does the sex treatment help his case?
Well,
because he's in sex addiction therapy in Phoenix.
Right. And this is something they all do when something goes wrong.
Of course,
right?
They,
you know,
do.
They all do. But and I don't,
I'm
going to
get therapy for sex addiction.
But listen, sex addiction therapy is very much like for alcoholism or drug addiction or gambling. It deals with your demons. It deals with some of the things that happened in your past that might be causing you to do it. It helps you deal with your triggers. So if you have a trigger that you want to go and do something bad, it helps you have different processes that you can avoid the bad behavior. His problem may not be sex addiction. His problem is that he's a rapist and
right.
an abuser.
Right.
That's different. That's a whole different thing. And so I think his going there is probably something that he thinks he has to do for public purposes, for maybe for criminal law purposes. But I don't think it's going to do any different, make any difference at all for him.
How do they get past the he said, she said case? Because there's women in New York. Now there's women in L.A. that are coming out saying Harvey Weinstein raped me. How do they get past that? Just, you know, it's his word against their word.
It's hard. And people think you can't be convicted on he said, she said. But you can. And, you know, there's circumstantial evidence. Did the woman report it when it happened? How contemporaneous was it? Did someone see her leaving the room? These things, Peter, are very hard to prove. Rapists know what to do and how to do it without getting caught. And
right.
this is a guy who did just that.
Yeah.
It sounded like he did it always one-on-one in a hotel room or an office building or somewhere where there weren't a lot of people around or anyone around. So these things will be hard to be proven civilly or criminally, especially criminally, because we have beyond a reasonable doubt, which
right.
is a very, very strong burden.
Attorney Karen Conti in studio. If you have a legal question, 312-981-7200. Let's go to Glenn in Hinsdale. Glenn, what's your question for Karen?
Ms. Conti, my partner and I just started up a small startup, and we've made a step into international buying products from out of the country, and I'm looking for referrals, or do I need to get an attorney or who to be able to handle questions like tariffs and legal questions of that nature?
Sure, you do. Let me do this. I think you should email me and you should tell me a little bit about where your company is and what it does, and a little bit about maybe what countries you're dealing with and what is the nature of the product or service. Because
okay.
lawyers tend to, in the big city of Chicago, they tend to concentrate their practices in certain countries and certain types of businesses. But definitely, I think you will need some advice about that, how to contract with people from other countries, what are your remedies if you have issues of intellectual property, meaning your protection of your patents or copyright or things like that. You definitely want some good advice. So if you send me an email at my new email address, which is WGN
okay.
at AskKarenConti.com. I'm happy to give you some referrals.
I would really appreciate it because this is a big step for, like I said, we're a startup as of last February. So, but we found that, you know, we've got to stretch our wings and fly. So,
absolutely.
But it's a big step, and trying to find a law firm or somebody who wants to talk to somebody as small as we are is not the easiest thing in the world.
No, and it does get expensive. But again, if you get some lawyer who's going to work with you through the years, you know, they'll take you on, help you grow your business. I mean, a good lawyer will look prospectively, not just say, don't do this, don't do that, but give you some advice, hopefully, on how to avoid pitfalls and how to succeed. And I'll see if I can get you the best person I know.
I really appreciate it. I'll send out an email tonight. Yep.
Thank you, Glenn.
Good luck.
312, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. 312-981-7200, free legal advice from Karen Conti, 708 area code. Would you ask Karen, excuse me, would you ask Karen to please explain the Good Samaritan laws? I took a Red Cross CPR class, and a week later, a man keeled over in a restaurant. People hesitated to help me. We jolted him and restored his heartbeat. He was talking to the EMTs as they wheeled him out. Bystanders said they didn't want to get involved and be liable.
Oh,
how does that work?
Well, good for you. Congratulations to you. The Good Samaritan laws in Illinois say that if you stop and try to help somebody, okay, that you are not civilly liable for any damage you might do because you didn't do it the right way. Okay, so you have no obligation to stop, even as a trained professional. The only obligation you might have is as a parent, or if you're a lifeguard and someone's drowning, you would have an obligation to save. But if you're just walking down the street, you, even though you're trained, you don't have any obligation to step in.
Right.
But once you do that, you can't be, I'm not going to say you can't be sued, because anyone can sue for anything.
Sure, it seems like everybody gets sued.
You have
nowadays
an absolute defense that you did this voluntarily, and therefore you're immune from liability.
What is your favorite thing to do? I mean, what is your specialty?
I do a lot of family law. That's okay. Really where I'm practicing mostly right now.
Do you do a lot of contracts?
I've in other areas of
Yes.
I'm generally more of a litigator, Pete. So okay. We kind of divide ourselves up as lawyers as people who go to court and people who draft things and merge companies and give
I know both.
Advice.
Yes.
Right. So I'm more of the go to court person. So have I drafted contracts? I have.
Sure.
But that's not my specialty.
So when you go to court, is it like on TV where you walk out and you greet the jury, or do you have to stand at a podium?
Well, we hardly ever get in front of juries, to be honest. You know, I mean, in family law especially, it's all in front of a judge. We don't get juries. But so most of the stuff we do is more mundane and routine, where we'll go in front of a judge and the judge wants to know the status of your case. So it's not like there's things flying all over the place. Tomorrow I have a small arbitration trial over a personal injury matter, which is funny because I don't do personal injury work, but I have a friend who likes me and says, I want you to try my case. So
just do it.
So I'm going to do it, you know, and so I love trying cases, and it's always fun. And, you know, you get your exhibits and you get your witnesses ready, and it's really fun. That's fun.
That's what you get jacked about right there.
Yeah, exactly.
312-981-7200. You have a question? Karen Conti will give you free legal advice at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Brian Noonan. In studio with us, attorney Karen Conti. You want free legal advice? She can give it to you. Are you the life of the party when you go to parties? Because my cousin is an attorney, and he hates when people corner him. Hey, can I ask you about this?
Well, you know,
because I call him all the time and ask him for advice.
I'm happy to do that. You know what? I am very privileged to, you know, I come from Berwyn. I come from, you know, a family where, you know, it was not, you know, I was the first college-degreed person. So I feel very privileged that I'm able to help people. And if I'm just able to steer someone in the right direction or make someone understand something, I'm very happy about that.
You're just happy in general, though.
I'm a happy person.
Yes, which is good.
Yeah.
That helps.
And, it helps to be dealing with people all day who aren't happy. No one calls my office who's in a good mood.
What do attorneys, you don't have to tell me what you charge, but in general, what is it, $40 to $90 an hour for an attorney?
Oh my gosh, no.
Is it more?
In the city of Chicago, I would say the range from, you know, a simple lawyer for a simple will might charge $200 an hour.
$200
an
hour.
And there are lawyers who I know at Winston & Strawn who are charging $1,500 an hour. So, and probably more for even more for patent lawyers.
And people that are listening right now can get it for free.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, this is good stuff right here.
Time is ticking.
Let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark and Joliet. You're on the clock with attorney Karen Conti. Mark, what's your problem?
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Mark.
Here's my issue. I've had a septic contractor that we've had a relationship, every year coming out to our house twice a year for routine maintenance and other things as we needed. Last year, it was determined we have a very complex septic system, and it was necessary to make some repairs. So I received a quote from the contractor. Again, we've had a relationship for over 10 years. Based upon that quote, made a decision to go ahead with the work, made a down payment for half the money, which amounted to just under $6,000. Since that time, he has not returned phone calls. He said at one time that he ordered the materials. This is going on close to 10 months now. And, excuse me, every time that we try to reach out to him, he does not return phone calls. It's obvious that he took that close to $6,000 and has done something other than to order the materials that are needed to fix our septic system. So what actually are my remedies?
Mark, I feel bad because I get this kind of call all the time.
Oh,
and
I'm sure.
This, you know, your remedies are, you know, you hire a lawyer to write a very stern letter saying this is fraud. You know, this is not just breach of contract. You said you were going to do something. You had no intention of doing it in the first place, and that's fraud. And you can call the police, call the authorities on it. They're probably not going to do anything. But you can have a lawyer write a stern letter. Occasionally that works. Not always, but it can. Your second thing is to file a small claim. To go into the county, you'll probably go to the Will County Courthouse. They're very friendly there in the clerk's office. You'll ask for some forms to fill out for a small claim, and you sue him. Now, the problem with suing somebody in a case like this is you can do all the work. You'll do all the paperwork. You're going to be out of your element. It's not fun to go to a courthouse and not know what you're doing, but you'll do it, and you'll work through it, and you'll get a judgment against him, okay? And then you have to collect. And that's where the problem is, because getting a judgment means nothing. You have to garnish wages. You have to put liens on properties, which means you have to find out what he owns, where he's working, what he's doing. And if he's shady enough to walk away with your $6,000 after having a 10-year relationship with you, I don't have any confidence that he's got any money sitting around. I mean, he must have been desperate to take your money and run away with it. So, yes, I think you should do it. $6,000 is a huge amount of money, but just be warned that it may be difficult to collect.
Okay, thank you.
And Mark, just for everybody out there, in a situation where you have have a contract to do work, it's sometimes a good idea to ask them what the parts are that they're the materials, if it's a fence or whatever it is, and say, "Let me buy the materials."
Really?
Because then they can't, you know, because what they always tell you is, I need that money up front to go buy the XYZ.
Right.
But if you say, well, I know what I want at Menards or whatever, and I'm going to go get it. How much do you think I need? They'll tell you what the square foot or whatever it is.
I like
and you
that.
Go buy it. And then you put it in your house, and then you wait for him to come. And then when he does some work, then you pay him. And then you pay him some more when he's half done. And then when he's completely done, you pay him the rest. And that's really a good way and safe way to do it.
You got it, Mark?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Good luck.
Sure you get that question about contractors all the time, which
it's sad.
Jogged my memory because we had people in the neighborhood that hired a guy to do their floors, and he bought all this material, and then he had an accident, and he couldn't finish the project, and a new contractor came in and said, hey, this guy bought $600 more of the flooring that you didn't need. And they looked around and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
So he bought it for himself.
It's, you know, you got to really take control of these things because there's not a lot of, you know, lawyers will lose our license if we steal things or do bad things. And
right.
Most of us after 7 years of higher education don't want to do that. There are some bad apples. But when it comes to contractors, they're really not regulated. And, you know, you think someone did a good job because he did it for your neighbor. But this
sure.
guy is probably, maybe his kids needed money for college. He just took that money and sent it to a college.
Right.
Or worse yet, you know. He blew it up his nose. I mean, you never know.
312-981-7200. Attorney Karen Conti in studio with us. Jim on the Northwest side. What's your question for Karen?
Yeah. Hi, Karen. I was curious. I own a couple apartment buildings. And is it better to do a contract or to do a month-to-month lease with your tenants?
Oh, it's always better to do a lease, a written lease. Are you're thinking about doing a 1 year lease or a month to month lease?
Well, right now I have tenants that live with me that I just do month to month with them because I figure that it's if I got to ask them to move, they have nothing to stand on either. That they I just ask them to move, right? And then if I give them a lease, if they break the lease, they're not going to, they're still not going to honor it anyway.
And you still have to recover whatever money or relet the place, which is what most landlords do. You know what would be good for you? It sounds like you said you have a couple apartment buildings, and I don't know how many units.
Two.
Okay. It wouldn't be a bad idea to spend an hour with a landlord attorney and have him tell you the pros and cons of entering into these leases, what your obligations are, because there are some pitfalls in your world about security deposits. I don't know if that you qualify for having to do that, but that's really regulated, and when you violate that, there's all kinds of penalties, and some people will bring you to court. So I would probably recommend a landlord attorney, and if you want to email me, I'm happy to give you somebody who I know that does a good job.
Because I've talked to a couple attorneys, and most attorneys stay away from these kind of with tenant landlord deals for some reason, the ones I've talked to.
Yeah. Well, they have to concentrate in this, because I don't know landlord tenant law. I can't pretend to tell you the rules, but I do know people who practice in this area, and you probably have to be willing to pay them an hour or two for their services.
Yes.
And it's going to be well
yes.
worth it to get that advice and do it the right way, and maybe even get some sample leases.
Makes sense.
Good luck, Jim.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Remember, you can always email Karen, WGN at askkarenconti.com. All right. 312-981-7200. Attorney Karen Conti in studio. By the way, you're great. I've worked with you on Cochran, and this is, I mean, it's just right off the top of your head. You studied in college. Good for you.
I did.
Everybody on hold. Don't worry. We're going to get to you in a second. It's 720 WGN. Keith McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios, in for Brian Noonan. Attorney Karen Conti in studio. Free legal advice. You do this every week from 8 to 9.
I do. And I enjoy it.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun, except when I don't know the answer. But I can always give a little bit of, here's what you probably should be thinking about. But I always have somewhere someone can go to get the answer.
Well, that last guy you said, just send me an email. I'll recommend a few attorneys for you.
Yeah. I've been doing this long enough. I have lists of people in different categories and different subdivisions and different suburbs and different states. So I'm usually pretty good at getting the right person.
I want to ask you about fake IDs, because I don't have kids in college, but I have 23 nieces and nephews, and 5 are in college right now.
Wow.
And we had a neighbor kid that came home for the weekend, and he had a fake ID that he paid $25 for, and it said that he lived in Connecticut. And it looked so real. It had everything on it. The watermarks,
wow.
You know, the little reflector thing.
Wow.
Can he get in trouble for that?
Yeah, big trouble. In Illinois, that's a class 4 felony. You could
class 4 felony.
Yeah, and that you could get between 1 and 3 years. Now, if a kid turns up with one, are they going to actually prosecute it, and are they going to slap him with that, or are they going to give him some kind of suspended sentence and something less than that? Probably. But why risk it? I mean, can you imagine having a felony on your record when you're a young kid in college?
Yeah,
that could ruin a lot of things for a long time. So I think kids need to really think about those things in college, because, I know we've all had our wild days in college, and you don't think about the future, but the drinking and the carousing and graffiti and, fun little things that you think are fun now stay with you forever. And even if you can get it expunged, sometimes it still is somewhere on the web where an employer could see it.
It's funny that you say that, because I went in to get the pre-TSA check, and they looked up my record, and I thought it was expunged. I got arrested in college. And they're like, we don't have a ruling on this. You have to call the courthouse. So I had to call the courthouse, and it took like 3 weeks. So it came back to haunt me so many years later.
Well, and yours resolved in a good way. You never got prosecuted, never got found guilty of anything.
Right.
But if you are, that could stick around with you for a long time. So I don't know. I don't know how you make people really aware of that, because you think you're invincible.
Right.
You know, when you're a kid, you never even think about the future. But now the future is pretty much permanent.
It'll come back to haunt you. Yeah. Attorney Karen Conti in studio with us. June on the highway. June, what's your question for Karen?
Oh, thank you. My goodness. I didn't know that you might be able to get to me. Thank you so much. I will try to make it brief for you, Karen. I have a developmentally delayed son who is now 26. He was brain injured 3 years ago. At that time, I was 63. The state talked me into giving them guardianship so that they could provide him with more resources of places to live, which I did. And in doing so, he's been taken to a place of high abuse and neglect, very high abuse and neglect. And he has had at least 10 calls this year alone to OIG. We would like to overturn the guardianship and return him to us in our county and find a suitable, loving environment for his very medical need. He's in a wheelchair and he needs 24/7 care.
Let me ask you this, June. Let me just ask you a quick question. When you gave guardianship to the state, I think is what you said, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I needed to because I was 64 at the time, and we had thought, we had an attorney at the time, loving man, doing pro bono work, and very loving, still loving, but not able to help this concrete OSG rep.
Okay.
She's concrete and hypervigilant.
So my concern is that maybe, I don't know why that would be necessary. You can send your disabled child to a place that where the government pays for it without losing your rights to your child. So I'm just a little, I'm confused about that. But that said, you need a guardian lawyer. You need someone to come in and have that overturned. And I imagine what you're going to have to do is to file something in court to get this overturned and give a basis for why you want that to happen. And because of your age, and if you feel like you're, I mean, that doesn't sound old to me, but if you feel like that's you're in a position where you don't want to do that, you might want to designate somebody else to be his legal guardian, you know, for long term. But again, this is out of my area. And I think you can email me, should email me and let me give you, there's a one woman who I know who does this work. So this is what she concentrates her practice in. And I think she'd be great for you. Okay.
Oh, thank God. But does she have the ability to work? I as I say this, I'm retired, disabled myself, but I'm okay. I mean, my disability is not one that prevents me from being my son's guardian in that manner, but they would want me to have a second guardian whom I may very well have. I mean, she stepped up and she's terrified at how much he has been deteriorating in this company's care.
Well, and I think you were getting ready to ask me if she'll, I think you're getting ready to ask me if she works for free. And frankly, I have to tell you, people think there is free legal work, free legal help out there. You know, unless you're an abused woman, unless you're accused of a crime and you have a public defender, the world doesn't provide people with free legal help.
Right.
So I when I refer you to people, it's probably going to be someone who's going to charge you. And so I don't, you know, you might want to look around and network and find a legal clinic or some law school maybe who can do that for free. But those things are really hard to find.
And they can email you WGN@AskKarenConti.com. Thank
that's
you,
right.
June. Wow, that's a rough one right
that's
there.
That's a rough one.
That is just terrible. Okay, let's go to John in Palatine. John, thanks for holding. You're on with Attorney Karen Conti.
Hey, guys. Oh, thank you for taking the call.
Go ahead, buddy.
Can you? Okay, so this goes back to the guy with the septic problem. I just had a question for Karen regarding companies that provide services to homeowners. Is there any way to know ahead of time if they happen to be in financial trouble? And also, I didn't mention this to the young man. At what point when they perform the work can you request a lien release? Do you have to wait until the work is over? How does that work?
There's all different ways you can. Let me ask your answer your first question. I mean, no. Can you look up someone's financial wherewithal? There's really no good place to do that, you know, but you should be doing your due diligence by looking at the Better Business Bureau, of course, looking at the internet to see if there is any reviews on a website, if there is a website. And you might want to just see where that person is licensed. Is that person bonded? Is there insurance? And you want to see proof of that. The issue of liens, and that is, like, say if the person comes and does work on your home and doesn't pay it's subcontractors. Those subcontractors could put a lien on your home and you wouldn't even have any knowledge of it until it happens. So you can put in your contract that you need to see release of liens at certain points in time. Like I was saying, you put down a certain amount of money and then you get release of liens when things are completed. So if you're doing a kitchen, say, when the floor is done, you want a release of lien from the flooring people. And on and on. But you,
God, it seems so simple, but we don't do it.
Well, we don't. And, you know, no one wants to spend money on a lawyer before you get a construction contract signed.
Right.
And I understand that because you're trying to save money and do it the best you can. And frankly, if people are going to do bad work and if they're going to walk away with your money, a contract's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
But that's something you should pay attention to and understand what a mechanic's lien is. Everyone doing construction work should Google that so you understand the issue and that you need to protect to make sure that those subcontractors are paid.
Thank you, John. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Tony in Glenview. Tony, thanks for holding. You're on with Attorney Karen Conti. What's your question?
Oh, sure. I have a quick question. I own a house with a shared driveway. Had a great relationship with my former neighbors. The house sold earlier this summer. I said hi to the new neighbors. They didn't say much to me. Within a week of them acquiring this house, I came home from work one day, and there's a 6-foot fence going up right down the middle of the driveway.
Oh!
I asked them, I said, well, you know, I asked them, what's this about? They said, we want our privacy, and that's basically the last time I've ever talked to them. I went to the village of Glenview, and they did issue a permit for the fence. I've got a couple issues. First, I've talked to my snowplow guy who absolutely tells me he cannot get his plow back on my side anymore without damaging their fence or doing some damage to, you know, the fence that encompasses my backyard. I also was wondering, they're kind of, jerks, to put it lightly. Since this fence is facing my yard, I've got a bunch of old junky stop signs and whatever. Can I actually mount these things on my side of their fence without worrying about this guy coming over and taking his signs down or taking my signs down?
There's a couple things here. I guess I'd have to know, is that driveway owned by you or by your neighbor, or is it somehow jointly owned and there's some sort of easement? Because if he put a fence on something that you own, you can get him to take it down. Now, if you want to spend the money on doing that, you can send him a cease and desist letter. A lawyer can bring a suit to have it removed. I don't know. I mean, do you know that, the answer to that question?
Well, yes. I'm sure when he went to the village, he had a plat of survey, and they went off his plat of survey.
Well, don't be so sure, because you should go look at your plat to see what it says about that.
Okay.
Because this might cause long-term problems for you, and it might cause problems in selling your home down the line if this impacts your ability to do what you need to do to clear the way. The issue of whether you can mount things on his fence, you know, My best answer is that you probably can't, because it belongs to him. You know, certainly you could. I really have to know who owns that.
Right.
Who owns the property?
Don't assume that your neighbor owns it.
Yeah.
So I should probably go out and get a plat survey and start there. Get
you
a new
should.
Survey done.
Yeah. There. I mean, do you have it from when you bought the house, or is it?
I do. It's about 10 years old, but yeah. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea to get a new one.
Yeah,
now,
and you know, and it wouldn't even be a bad idea to spend a couple dollars with a real estate lawyer who can read it and tell you, you know, clearly what your rights might be. Because listen, I know neighborhood disputes sound silly to people, but it ruins your ability to enjoy your property.
All right.
And you know, if these people are jerks and they're going to taunt you and they're going to do all kinds of things, you should know what your rights are now before you let it sit there.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. That sounds like
it's
a tough
great,
one.
Great advice. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Take care.
Wow. We got the contractors and the neighbor disputes. I mean, yeah. I feel like you hear this all the time.
All the time.
Karen Conti in studio with us, 312-981-7200. If you have a question, Diane, you're on with Karen. What is it?
Hey, I had received a letter in the mail that they had a red light camera that I went through. And as I was reading this, they said that I turned right without a complete stop. I didn't know this camera could do both. But is there any advice how I can contest this?
My wife gets these once a month. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
You know, used to be that you could contest these things. And if you went in there, you know, you'd probably get, you know, some sort of pass on things. But
there's also a video you can watch that you get on the ticket.
Right.
That you receive in the mail.
Yeah. And so usually they're right. I mean, it's hard to contest these things. Now, if you've got a problem, maybe you've got a couple moving violations and you need to take care of that, the best advice that I would have is hire a traffic lawyer to go in there and help you resolve it. But if this is your first one, I mean, it's probably just easier to pay it and move on. And because to go down there and spend a whole morning and parked in the city of Chicago and try to fight this with a video.
No, this is actually in Rockdale, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's probably not as...
Not bad.
Yeah, not as troublesome to go and do that. But I personally wouldn't spend the time because it's on a video.
Right.
You know, unless they you have a legitimate, like I had one time where someone else was driving my car and they gave me the ticket. And the truth, I mean, I wasn't driving the car and you could see that it wasn't me.
Yep.
So I contested it and I got out of it. But I was already in that area anyway and I lived downtown. So, but anyway, you know.
There's nothing you could do.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't fight it, but.
Right. 312-981-7200. Attorney Karen Conti in studio. We'll take some more calls and text messages coming up on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Brian Noonan. Karen Conti, the attorney in studio, giving free legal advice. We were talking about being drunk in college and making a mistake. You don't want that on your record. Listen to this. 773. My friend was drunk in college, shoplift a frozen burrito from the 7-Eleven, was tried and convicted. He's 48 now, works in the financial industry, and every time he goes for a job interview, he has to explain that drunken night.
That is not unusual. It's just not an unusual thing. And the other thing is, when you don't get a job, how do you know it's not because of the frozen burrito? We'll just call it the frozen burrito problem, right? You go in for a job.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's true.
No, you have this great resume.
Yeah.
You give this great interview. You meet everybody. Everybody loves you, and you don't get the job.
Right.
And you don't know if it's because of the frozen burrito.
Wow. 630 area code. Karen, what's the deal with hospital bills and going to collections right away? Do they send those right away if you don't pay them? The hospital bills?
I'm not sure what, and it probably depends on the hospital, but, you know, if you get hospital bills, people like to just either throw those away or file them somewhere where they can't see them. You know,
right.
Most people who go to the hospital, I find, are just, it's such a negative thing. You know, they're sick or someone who they love is sick, so they don't want to deal with those bills. But you really need to read them and you need to understand if you're being charged correctly. You need to understand if the insurance is covering it correctly. And you need to work out a payment plan with the hospital before it becomes too late. They take it to collection, then they get a judgment against you that impacts your credit on a long-term basis. So don't ignore those bills. The hospitals have some programs where they'll help, you know, how much can you pay? And you can show them you can pay X amount per month and you can work it out with them.
As long as you're paying, it doesn't go on your credit, right?
As long as it doesn't go to a collection agency
okay.
and they get a judgment, it doesn't go on your credit.
Craig in Lombard, you're on with attorney Karen Conti. What's your question?
Yes, hi, Karen. Can you hear me?
Hi, Craig. Yes, I can.
Yeah, hi. I had a question. I had an attorney several years ago who I hired, I signed an agreement with to pursue an employment-related case for back wages. I pay the attorney almost $3,000, sign an agreement, gave me a $3,000 retainer. He wrote one letter, which did nothing, and then he basically disappeared. He called me on the phone, told me to refuse to represent me at that point, and then he wouldn't do any work for me or communicate with me any longer. I was wondering, do I have any recourse to recover any money that I paid him to do work? And what other recourse do I have in this type of situation? What's the statute of limitations if there is one?
Tell me again exactly when you hired him.
This was about 3 years ago.
And when did he say, I'm not representing you anymore?
About 3 weeks after I hired him, and he sent a letter to the former employer.
Okay, so, you know, it's probably a 2-year statute of limitations for negligence, for not pursuing what he said he was going to do. You know, was there a reason that he didn't represent you?
No, he did not. He just told me he refused to represent me any longer, and he ceased communication.
And was this for unpaid wages from a job you had?
for back wages, yeah. Okay. Yes.
So what doesn't make sense to me is you could go to the Illinois Department of Labor and you could fill out.
I did do that, and I eventually was able to get something through them to do that. But
okay.
The point is, I feel like it's defrauded by an attorney.
Okay.
If somebody I trust to represent me, I signed an agreement with him to represent me.
Yeah, boy, that sounds wrong.
He took an amount of money. He basically charged me $3,000 to write one letter. And I was wondering, is there anything I can do through the state or another attorney to recover what I paid him?
That's not going to be worth it. You would pay a lawyer $5,000 retainer to sue him. So,
so there's somebody through the state I can go to and work with?
There's the Illinois, ARDC, which is the Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission, ARDC. And it's like illardc.org. Go on there and you can fill out a form and you can complain about the attorney and you're going to have to explain what happened. Now, this is not a mechanism to get your money back. They don't deal with getting money back, but they will investigate your claim that he did something wrong, and they will ask him for an explanation, and they might nudge him to say, hey, if you only wrote one letter and charged $3,000, that doesn't sound like you did something really good for clients, and they might suggest that that you get a refund. That's not your mechanism to do it, but it's your mechanism to report what you think is bad behavior by an attorney.
Is he still practicing?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I could find that out.
Here's how you find that out. You can go on that Illinois ARDC website.
Okay.
You plug in his name, and he'll tell you, is he practicing? When did he stop practicing? Does he have insurance? Does he have any discipline against him? And you can find out quite a bit about an attorney from that source. Okay.
I mean, if I basically sign an agreement with him, a letter that stated he's working for $300 an hour, I gave him $3,000 in advance, and, I write... like a kind of defraud type situation where, you took 10 hours to write a letter.
Did he ever send you a bill?
No, I paid him the cash up front as a retainer.
Okay,
oh.
So he has to account for that money. If he's charging you by the hour, he has to account for that money. So he's going to have to produce a bill. So maybe the Illinois Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission is where you go. And I think maybe before you even do that, send him a letter if you can find where he is and say, I need a copy of the bill and showing what you did for me for $3,000. And he probably won't answer it. So then you go to step B.
And so what's the website he can go and see if that attorney's still practicing?
It's hard for me. I think it's like illardc.org.
Okay. But he can Google it.
It's easy to find.
Thank you, Craig.
Good luck.
Attorney Karen Conti in studio. Before you go, you're an attorney. Do you watch the attorney TV shows?
I watch them. I like the crime shows.
The Menendez murders. Have you been following that?
I haven't watched this new one, but I followed it when it was going on. I'm that old, and I used to report on that. And I'm going to watch that. I'm taping that in the Casey Anthony one.
Oh my gosh, the Casey Anthony one. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Menendez one is really interesting to me because of the upbringing of those kids.
Right.
Did that cause them to be sociopathic, or were they born that way? Because, what they did is just inexplicable, given the facts and how it was spun. And the whole thing was just fascinating.
I want you to watch the Scott Peterson one, and then we're going to talk.
Yes, I'll do that.
Because he's innocent. I mean, he's not innocent, but he shouldn't have been convicted.
There's way too much speculation.
Evidence.
Not much evidence.
It's crazy. They just wanted to put somebody away. Wow. Because you think he's guilty until the final episode. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Very interesting.
It's good stuff. Karen, great to see you.
Great to see you,
Pete. God, you are good.
Oh,
you are good.
Thanks.
Where can people reach you?
You can call me at 312-332-7800, or better yet, my brand new email address, which is wgn@askkarenconti.com.
All right.
Thanks, Pete.
It's 720 WGN.